is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. I hope you are having a tremendous Friday. I'll be hanging out either way. I'll be here for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. The super producer and host Ryan Hickey is in New York City. And we got a full show. Man, well, thank you oh so much to Dana Scott for joining us. The NBA season is, well, it's just about over, the regular season. And that means the season is about to be officially over for the Phoenix Suns. We talked about their future because, let's face it, they're a disaster. And they need to get rid of Kevin Durant and bring in some draft capital. We talked about the Saints. Apparently, Derek Carr has a shoulder issue. He might not play this year. What does that mean? The Saints, they probably need to get their hands on drafting a quarterback because they are financially tied to Derek Carr. What a world. And so what does this mean for Shador? What does this mean for Quinn Ewers? What does this mean for, oh, well, how about this? Even Joe Flacco got a job today. 1 year contract with the Cleveland Browns. We're going to get into that. We got the Masters going on right now. We're going to be joined, a matter of fact, by Matt Adams from the Golf Channel. He's going to come through and have a good chat with us and give us an update. Right now, Justin Rose is leading 8 shots under par. And I can't believe this. Oh, my goodness. Hickey is. Did you see that Rory McIlroy spoke to the media today? He spoke?
He did. Well, when you play good golf, JR, it's a lot easier to speak than when you're crapping the bed at the end like you did yesterday.
Yeah, he was able to fix things at the end. He was able to fix things today. He's now, what, 6 under? Where's the stupid leaderboard at?
6 under, tied for third.
Okay. Every time I try to look at the leaderboard, it always moves. Yeah, he's right there. It's Rose, DeChambeau, and then Rory. It's 6 under. Bryson DeChambeau is 4 under. And there we have it. We'll keep you up to date. Of course, they won't finish until Sunday, so we'll do what we can do anyway. We'll have a whole chat in about 20 minutes with Matt Adams from the Golf Channel. And then, Hickey, you also showed me in the break. You saw me a guy sitting in a bush. He was covered by a leaf. I don't know if he was taking a crap or what was going on. That was who was that taking a crap in the woods?
That was Scotty Scheffler, who put his drive on 18 into the pine straw, like in the bushes. And for whatever reason, I guess figured, okay, maybe the best way to see about an angle getting out of here is to sit down, crisscross applesauce, and sat there for literally a minute until a rules official came over to, I guess, discuss what he can do, what he can move, what he cannot move. But he figured, I guess I might as well pop a squat and sat right down kindergarten style.
So he didn't go out there to take a crap. He was trying to evaluate how to get the ball from under the tree.
If that's how he takes a crap in public, I'm very concerned and have a lot of questions.
In a tree? I mean, he's a golfer. I don't. Most times he's outside. Just find a tree.
Well, did you see the story that happened, I think, yesterday?
Uh-oh.
One of the amateur golfers that is playing in the tournament.
Wait. Is this the guy that peed in, a river?
In the creek. In Ray's Creek. Yes. Who actually is on the screen right now, finish up 18. Ballester.
Yeah. And didn't he say that he would pee in the creek again?
Yes.
Is he
interesting
trying to
strategy?
Is there of course it's a creek. Something has to be alive in there, right? Something.
I don't know. You're probably right.
I don't know. A fish doesn't go down a creek, right? Too thin, narrow. I don't know.
Well, I'm assuming because it's the Masters and want everything pristine, I'm assuming they probably imported some fish. Throw them in there for the weekend.
This guy killed the fish. Now where's Peter at, huh?
Well, I'm surprised, honestly, he was able to do that and not get, arrested by the Grand Marshals there.
Oh, my God.
No desecrating that course.
Hickey, I have been on some fancy golf courses. I have seen men and women go into the bushes, okay? I have.
Look, I've done it myself.
Oh, no.
I think there are some sacred places where maybe you shouldn't.
What? Augusta's at the hole?
No. I'm saying I think there are certain courses. Augusta's maybe one of 3 courses in America.
Don't pee on it.
Where I think no place, no tree, no bush, no creek.
Why not?
Would be acceptable for you to go number 1. I just think it's too nice.
They got the money to fix it. That's why you do it.
What is crazy? Like, Augusta's so strict, no phones on the course. Like, they enforce everything, right? You think that if someone tried to go to the bathroom, they'd be like, whoa, whoa, what are you? Like, that's like the rule number one. Don't desecrate the course.
So how did this guy end up peeing in the creek?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Like, what? Did he have a Wizenator with him? Like, how did he just go? It was that the Minnesota Vikings did that, right? The boat, the cruise ship.
Oh, I have no idea what you're referencing.
The Wizenator?
Yeah. No, the Vikings.
Oh, so the Minnesota Vikings had like a... Hickey, there's disgusting details here.
Oh,
here we
boy.
Go. I think I'm mixing up my stories. Oh, yeah, here we go. Ontario Smith caught with the Wizenator at an airport last month. Okay. Imagine somebody goes into your bag because your bag went off. And they go, what is this? And you got to take it. It's a prosthetic... thing that for pee, like, what is this? Why is there like a bucket attached to the back? Like, what is this about? Yeah, here we go. Hickey, I'm going to tell you, Vikings cruise ship. There was a big story. This is before the New York Giants went on a boat.
Okay.
Yeah, man, what happened with the Vikings? Oh, you type in Vikings and cruise. Trust me, other things come up. not Minnesota. What there was something that the Vikings here we go. A party boat. Yep. Minnesota
party boat.
Minnesota Vikings party boat scandal. October 2005. An alleged sex party occurred on Lake Minnetonka with 17 members of the Vikings, including Dante Culpepper, Fred Smoot. Brian McKinney. I know where to find him.
Oh,
Nate Burleson.
Oh.
Let me see who else here I might know. Let me call some names out.
Wow.
Okay, I don't know these guys. Two houseboats were rented, and some, but not all, of the players performed acts in front of crew members. Workers, okay, air quotes, workers from Atlanta and Florida were flown in for the party. You get it, Hickey? Workers?
Workers. What were you know they what doing type, exactly? What
you know what type of workers, right? Okay.
Docksmen? No. Captains to drive the boat, right? Captains from Florida. I'm sure that they know.
They were having their boats driven. what am I supposed to? It's Friday, okay? I said what I said.
Okay. Say that for an hour from now for the Friday funny.
What are we going to get a worse joke than what I just said?
That was good. I mean, side hurts from that.
You said docksman, and I was like, well, I can't say what I want to say. And then, and then you said something about driving boats. I'm like, no. But anyway, there were at least 90 people on the two boats.
Wow.
And Fred Smoot later estimated that there were 100 women present. An anonymous former player of the Vikings claimed that this is not the first time that such an incident had happened. Okay. Okay. What's the problem here? Where's the incident? Okay. Uh-oh. Here we go. All right. Okay. A woman called police at 9:20. Seven black men had urinated in her yard after exiting a big shuttle bus limousine. Okay.
We've all been there.
And so what is this? The cleaning crew reported finding Jimmy hats, jelly. I'm keeping it clean. Jimmy hats, jelly, wipes, wrappers for toys. Never in the history of this group of people have they ever done anything like this. Okay. There were no drugs, no minors on the boats, and not every Vikings player acted inappropriately. There you have it. So why did I associate this Vikings party with the Wizenator? There you have it, Hickey. There you go.
Look, we've all been there. You know, you got to go.
No.
Number one, you're
speak
in a
for yourself.
Crazy state.
Nope. Speak for yourself.
The yard looks a little dry.
You going to water the lawn?
Just water the lawn.
Uh-huh. I mean, it depends on where you are in the country. You know, there are not a drought. What do they call that when you can't water your yard? The people out west know what that is.
A drought, yeah.
Yeah, but what do they call it? When you will get fined if you water your lawn.
You can't put the sprinklers on. Got to conserve water.
I forgot. I feel like that happened one time when I was a kid in New York. They're like, hey, we got to relax on the water and electricity and all that. I'm like, what are we doing now? Just live like a Neanderthal outside? Sure, why not? I'm glad early in the week we learned what the Neanderthals were called. I'm glad. Do you remember, Hickey? Do we need a pop quiz?
The only thing I remember about that is that Homo sapiens and Neanderthals are not the same. I thought they were.
Homo Neanderthalus or something like that.
Homo erectus is what we are closer to. Right?
Yeah.
It's like people started becoming upright.
Yeah, standing straight up. Yeah. How about you people learn something here. How about that? Hickey, I feel good. I learned something. You learned something. That's good.
That's right. We don't just talk sports. We educate America.
That's right.
On the important things.
Yeah, we got a science project next week. We'll figure out what that is.
Like one of those volcanoes that explode. I feel like that's like cliche science
project.
It's
vinegar and water. Is that what it is?
Oil and...
No, it's not oil. It's like some liquid. You put the white powder in it. It does the thing.
Or you can do the old Mentos and Coke and get the same reaction.
Did you ever do that in school? Science project? You ever did one of those?
Yes. Not like never the volcano, stuff like that. There was never things that exploded or
what did you
a mess.
What'd you do?
Did like construct like a flying chair.
Excuse me?
It didn't work. It was more of a concept.
Is this like a flying chair for an adult or a child that did it?
Well, at the time I was a child, so I guess I designed it for a child.
Did you put a propeller on the top of this?
Well,
what did
it
you
didn't
do?
Work. It was just, again, more a concept of an idea.
You never really did a science project.
Yeah. I mean, if like the science project only boils down to, does it work? Then yeah, I don't remember doing a science project that things actually worked.
I don't either. No, hell no, no. I just remember I had to do something once. I remember I waited until the last minute over like winter break. I don't even know what they call these things. I don't even know if kids still do this. Remember that big cardboard thing that you fold in three pieces?
Oh, yes.
It stands up and you got to.
Yes.
Let's see how smart I am. You have
what is that?
Is it a problem, a hypothesis, and a conclusion? Are those the three things? Am I mixing them up?
No, I mean, that order sounds correct. Yeah.
Whatever it is. You put them there and you got to make these stupid illustrations. And then in front of the stupid cardboard box, you have the science project. I don't remember anything about none of it. I don't.
That is literally, I know exactly what you're talking about. And same, I cannot remember what it was.
I mean, there were those kids out there that always had they were going extra hard for the science. And I'm like, this kid didn't do this. Like, this kid's dad did this. This kid's dad sat down and did the science. There's no way a third grader put this together. What are we doing here? And then they get the credit because their dad put it together? What are we doing? Not fair.
Bad parenting, doing the project for the kid.
But doing the kid's homework?
Also true.
Hickey, I remember when I was in school, there was a hotline. Did you have a hotline? Like, if you didn't know the homework and the parents didn't know the homework, they had a line where you could talk to a teacher. Did they have that when you were in school?
No. You were screwed.
Oh, wow.
There's no help. You could call someone? A teacher is on call?
No, this was in New York City.
Wow.
There was a whole thing. You dial a teacher. I'm going to Google it. You can you used to be able to dial a teacher. Now you just ask Google. Our kids are going to be stupid, aren't they? Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I would have like PTSD of like forgetting to write things down or forgetting the book at school and not being able to do the homework. That was no bueno.
In New York?
Yeah, on Long Island.
Here we go. Dial a Teacher, official site for the UFT. UFT's award-winning Dial a Teacher program is a homework helpline for elementary and middle school students attending New York City public schools. Yeah.
Wow.
Dial a Teacher. And it still looks like it exists today. Yeah, it looks like it. I guess there might be three teachers sitting around. I don't know. But the way the world works today, I'd be like, you'd be directed to,
center somewhere.
Vietnam. You'd be directed to Vietnam. I don't know. On that note, I'm going to stop there. I'm not going not going any further on that one. Otherwise, I will be given the boot. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, if you go to the Masters, don't pee on the green. You could be given the boot. We're going to take a break when we come back. Yeah, we'll talk football and NFL, but we got a very important chat with Matt Adams from the Golf Channel. We're going to figure out who he expects to walk away with the victory on Sunday. Who's going to get the green jacket? I don't know. Maybe Rory will talk some more if he actually has more success. Matt Adams from the Golf Channel on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And spring is springing. The flowers are blooming here in Georgia. It's beautiful, not too far away from me in Augusta. It's the Masters. It's when you know spring is here. You know we're on the precipice, almost sooner than later, soon, of summer. Weather's nice. Masters is underway, and right now we have to have a chat with someone who's real familiar with everything going on down in Augusta. He covers golf for the Golf Channel, amongst many places. Joining us right now is Matt Adams. Matt, how are you, man?
Good, JR. How are things?
Very well. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I guess right out of the gate, we got Justin Rose here, who's leading the way, and this guy hasn't won a major in almost 12 years. What is the likelihood? We got a long way to go. That he ends up on top?
Well, he's capable of it. He's in his early 40s. He's kept himself in shape. In fact, he goes to extraordinary lengths for his health. You name it. Saunas, cold plunges, red light therapy, etc. The exercise, the nutrition, constantly working on his golf swing. He's one of those guys that I would describe as a tinkerer, always making sure that the club is technically in the position that he wants it to be in to execute the shot that he envisions. So he's gone above and beyond with his discipline. He's a very, very intelligent guy. If you look at what he did today and how many times that he chose not to hit driver, oftentimes to the surprise of observers saying, he's hitting it so well, why wouldn't you just blast a driver down there? But he stayed resolute to his conservative approach. So I think that he has every shot at holding on. However, the hard part is, particularly with Saturday at Augusta National and back nine on Sunday, it's hard to maintain that kind of resolute mentality of conservatism, because you're going to have people chasing after you and going after you. We saw that today. I mean, we saw some really, really good rounds. Justin Rose was only one under today. It's hard to back up a low round like he had yesterday, but he was only one under today, JR. Meanwhile, right behind him, you got Bryson, who was four under. You got Rory, who was six under today. You got Matt McCarthy, who was four under today. You got Shane Lowry, who was four under today. You got Rasmus Højgaard, who was five under. And I'm just giving you a few examples of players being aggressive and going after it.
Matt Adams is here with us from the Golf Channel. You mentioned Rory McIlroy. He had a better day today than he did yesterday, six under in this second round. Between yesterday and today, is this not kind of indicative of how he typically performs at the biggest moments? I mean, his drought is almost, what, 12 years at this point?
It's 11 since he won. But the difference with Rory McIlroy, he spoke to it afterwards, and I thought his words carried a lot of wisdom, frankly, Jared, to be honest. He only had two bad holes yesterday, right? He had two double bogeys. Unfortunately, they came in a three-hole stretch in the closing holes of yesterday's opening round, so that really hurt. The way he approached it was to mentally say, wait a minute, I'm not gonna let two bad holes overtake and define the narrative of the rest of the holes that I played really, really solidly, really safe, really conservative. But it's kind of similar to the conversation that we were having with Justin Rose. I think if you go back to, just as an example, the 2022 Open at St. Andrews, where Rory coming into the final round, everybody thought it was going to be a coronation. Instead, he cruised and shot a 70. And as a result, Cameron Smith, who shoots a 64, overtakes him. And he doesn't even finish second. He finishes third in that Open at St. Andrews. That's the risk. I think when Rory McIlroy is true to Rory McIlroy, which means go after the pins that you want to go after. Be aggressive as you want to be. Be who you are instead of trying to change yourself and going, I'm just going to try to cruise here. Then I think he becomes the Rory McIlroy that can be magic. When the putter, for example, becomes a brush instead of a hammer. So if that's the Rory McIlroy that we continue to see tomorrow, who seemed very much at ease, he didn't seem as though he was haunted by ghosts of Thursday or ghosts of Masters past, after this round, then I think he could be very, very dangerous.
Oh, Matt, in between and off the course, we all know about the agreement that hasn't been had between LIV and the PGA. He's certainly been someone who's been outspoken about his thoughts about that. It seems like, as he's gotten older as well, kind of how he communicates and speaks or doesn't speak with the media, it's kind of changed. Have you noticed anything?
Well, Rory has always been very honest, and his honesty at times, as you could appreciate as a person that chronicles all the sports and all the athletes, we always have this dichotomy with our athletes. Say an athlete's up before a microphone and they're talking about something, anything, and they get overcome with emotions and they start to weep, and you'll have the naysayers saying, they're soft, they're this and that. And I always sit back and go, wait a minute. We want our athletes to give us something more than platitudes. We literally want them to be honest with us. That's all we're asking. But then when they do it, people jump all over them for it. So yeah, that is the red state, blue state world that we live in right now. Rory McIlroy is quite resolute in telling you how he feels. And at times it has got him fans, and at other times it has got him haters, because he has plenty of both, which may surprise people on both sides to hear that. So that's the Rory McIlroy that now in his mid-30s will sit back and tell you LIV in the PGA Tour should bring the game back together. There should be more opportunities of seeing the best players in the world play on the same stage more than just four times a year. And he'd like to see it structured the way international soccer is structured, that the higher tiers that you go to, the more elite it becomes and the smaller the respective fields accordingly. But there are pathways for ascension for players as you start to play better, as you get stronger in your respective field. So all of that is reasonable and sounds good, but golf, especially at this level, is also big, big business. And as a result, when it's big business, you're going to have a lot of people that are going to weigh in on a concept that sounds pretty straightforward and go, no, I don't want to go that way, because those guys left the PGA Tour and got paid however millions of dollars, over $100 million in some cases, et cetera. What's in it for me, the guy that stayed and hung around, right? So that's the kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes. That's the roadblocks that Rory's saying, let's not let this be a roadblock. We're all playing for plenty of money, but it's hard to convince other people of those sorts of things.
Matt Adams is joining us, covers all things golf for NBC and the Golf Channel. Just to deviate before we get back to the tournament we're watching this weekend, this has now gone on for years between the PGA and LIV, and let's come to an agreement before somebody gets the lawyer blood sucked out of them. This is difficult, especially given the political climate of the world. What do you think is most likely to happen outside of more disagreeing over, I assume, the next few years?
I think it's going to go on for the next few years, frankly. I think it's going to continue to be dragged out. I think part of this, when you put it in terms of a political perspective, I think part of this is trying to wear down the will of the other side. LIV, and which is owned by the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, the sovereign fund of Saudi Arabia, is costing a tremendous amount of money. But the Saudi Arabians, when they invest in something, according to the experts that I've spoken to, they don't look at it in terms of what's my quarterly return, what's my yearly profits or losses, et cetera. They look at it in terms of generational growth. So they might be looking at it in a cycle that goes 25 to 50 to 100 years down the road. They want to develop their country, so I don't know what's bigger than a five-star resort, but they want it to be bigger than five-star resorts, golf courses, everything else that's involved in it. So you know why they're going after the demographic that is golf, because it's the demographic that has money. So they're looking at it and going, okay, well, all this makes sense. Well, they're investing a tremendous amount of money, and they have said over and over again, Yasser Al-Rumayyan, that they're not in it to lose money. Long-term, they want to see a payoff for what they're doing. It's just right now it's costing a tremendous amount of money because they're building the foundations of that which they hope to build. At the same time, on the other side, you've got the PGA Tour, who has already an ingrained structure. They've already built their building. So basically what PIF and LIV is saying is, hey, why don't we move in together? We can operate as two separate tours. The PGA Tour is not sure if they want to do that. I can't tell if that's business or if that's insecurities talking. I don't know the answer to that, but it doesn't seem as though they're crazy about the idea of the two tours going on together. They got a $1.5 billion investment in the PGA Tour from what's called the Strategic Sports Group. Yeah. These are individual investors that came together as an association and invested this $1.5 billion and formed a new entity that is a for-profit taxable entity with the PGA Tour. And so now that they have that money in their coffers, there doesn't seem to be as much of a hunger on the side of the PGA Tour to potentially put together a deal, which is cheered by those who don't want a deal to happen anyway. And at the same time, Liv is sitting out there going, guys, we're ready to write this check. We just want to know what we're getting for it. And the PGA Tour is saying, well, in my interpretation, we're not quite ready to give you what you may have had the impression we were going to give you at one time, because the situation is starting to change. Whether this is, which is a different question, I realize, than the one you asked me, JR, if this is a run-up to a new heated confrontation and competition between the two, in other words, the Liv trying to once again sign players off the PGA Tour with very large contracts, that would only be even more damaging to the game. So where this is going to end up right now, we don't know.
Yeah, just a lot of beef. Well, Matt, final question here. What do you expect for us to see on Sunday? Should we expect Scotty to go on a run, another green jacket back-to-back? Is Rory finally going to get one? Is there a dark horse? Or what should you expect at the end? What should we expect?
First of all, we're only halfway through, so there's plenty of time for the likes of Scotty Scheffler, who's only three shots off the lead, to assert himself. I fully expect that he will. Rory McIlroy is only two shots back. I fully expect that Rory's going to assert himself. I think that Justin Rose will, at worst, tread water. So Bryson DeChambeau is one shot back. So I think what we're going to see is we're going to see the top of the leaderboard get very, very tight. Every one of those names that I gave you, I expect to be in the mix. I think Shane Lowry is going to be close because, you know, being in Atlanta, the wind that we've had last few days, and that will continue over the next couple days as well. So I think you're going to see the best players in the world contract at the top of the leaderboard. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised on Sunday evening if we don't have a playoff. And my sense is that the playoff this year could include three, maybe four people.
All right. Well, we'll be I hope the wind dies down. Almost blew across the street trying to get into work today. You got a good point on that one, Matt. Well, appreciate the time and the expertise. Very much appreciated, Matt.
Thanks, Jared. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, where can people follow and keep up with you and your works on a full-time basis?
I've got to fly up to New York this weekend. I'm hosting all of the React shows for NBC Sports on Golf Channel, so you can catch me there this coming week. My show, Fairways of Life, airs live on Golf Channel. Next show will be Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's syndicated, so down your way. It's on FanDuel Network. It's pretty easy to find me, to tell you the truth. It's if you're looking for golf, just look up Matt Adams FOL is my way to find me, and I'm out there.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much. Safe travels to you. We'll catch you on down the line.
Pleasure. Talk to you soon.
No doubt about it. You heard it from him. It's Matt Adams joining us from the Golf Channel. A lot of great. For me, I'm not watching golf all year long. Start with the Masters. I'm popping in and out at the other tournaments. Hopefully, Scotty Scheffler can get in and out of the tournaments without being arrested. Listening to police officers. Hickey, that guy tore his pants. Is that what happened they said last year? The police officer tore his pants?
Yes. Because
he was
some of the assault.
Because he fell on the floor or he was chasing him? I don't remember.
He jumped on the car.
Oh, my God.
And then fell. I think Scotty started driving a little bit, but he claimed to be dragged, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He had what do you have, a bologna sandwich overnight? Right? Again, bologna sandwich.
Oh, that was surreal.
I know, right? And then like a day later, too, every day I feel like there was a new video, a new angle, and it's like he just didn't listen to he thought the cop was just a lowly security guard, and he didn't obey the cop, and he got arrested for it. And wasn't this all because of a legitimate accident? Did someone pass away? Am I wrong?
Yes. No, there was a massive car crash.
Oh my God.
That unfortunately left one person passed away right near the golf course. That's why the backup was there. That's why he started panicking, because he was going to be late for his warm-up because of the traffic, because of the traffic patterns that were shut down that led to going the back route that led to the quote-unquote assault.
This man did some hard time, huh? Is that what it is?
Yeah, listen, not many people could say they went from the jail cell right to the course and shoot par, under par.
Right. What a world. Human beings, we have some interesting stories out here, don't we? That's why I'm not mad at anybody, Hickey, that just wants to stay in their house away from the outside. Crazy outside. Shout out to people outside. Be safe, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I told you about Kirk Cousins. I'm going to get to Kirk Cousins. I'm probably very miserable here in Atlanta. And we have more to get into as well. John Morant, we'll keep you updated. And we got a lot.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Matt Adams for joining us in the last break from the Golf Channel. Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Masters over the weekend. I already planned out my weekend. I'm going to watch the Hawks lose on Sunday to the Magic. I'm going to get home, watch the rest of the Masters, and then call it a day. And I'll be right the hell back here on Monday. That's how it is. And shout outs to Carmelo Anthony. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life. The easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. You can get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. You just heard from Carmelo Anthony, the NBA. This is the final weekend of their season. We got games that are getting underway. We can finally wipe the slate clean from a lot of the loser teams, like the Phoenix Suns, who didn't even make the postseason, which is just absolutely nuts to me. And when you take a look at the Western Conference, things are very bunched up. We got one game separating five different teams. Denver, the Clippers, the Warriors, Memphis, Minnesota, the Golden State Warriors are trying to avoid a play-in situation. As a matter of fact, the Warriors, Grizzlies, and Minnesota Timberwolves, they're currently all tied for the sixth seed. The Nuggets and the Clippers are just one game ahead of them, holding the fourth and fifth seeds respectively. And then you take a look at the Los Angeles Lakers, and they're right above them. And the Lakers, they can clinch the third seed by beating the Rockets tonight. I am not going to beat you over the head with all of the different permutations and possibilities. Just tune in on Sunday night. Look at the standings on Sunday night. You'll know exactly who's playing who and who's going to play where. By then, we'll also get the plan all situated. It's the wild, wild west right now. When you take a look at the basketball calendar, it's nuts. Pretty wild stuff. Well, I know somebody who's not going to be in the playoffs. It's the guy we talked about last hour. His name is Matt Ishbia. I hate to bring this back up, but it's hilarious to me. I guess when you're a billionaire, you can make massive mistakes, and I guess only the fan base cares. Because Matt Ishbia, last season, he said that the Phoenix Suns, they have a championship-caliber team. He basically said that we're going to prove it to everybody. And what did they do this year? Get worse. Sometimes you need to not write checks that your ass can't cash. Hey, listen to this Matt Ishbia from a year ago.
Oh, it's extremely fixable. I mean, let's just be real, although this isn't a cool narrative and the national media really won't want to play it out there, but like, ask the other 29 GMs. 26 of them would trade their whole team for our whole team and our draft picks and everything as is. Like, the house is not on fire. We're in great position. It's not hard to fix. It's not like we're like, hey, we don't have enough talent to win a championship. We have enough talent to win a championship, right? Do we have enough continuity? Do we have time together? Like, there's a lot of things we can look at. Do we have, like, the right leadership in place? Do we have to add some little pieces around that? It's not like we don't have people that can score the ball, not that play defense and have one champ. Like, we have all the things. And so how fixable is it? And, I mean, if I read the media, I would think we have a lot of problems. But luckily, I get to spend time with, you know, the best players in the world, in my opinion, the best coaches, GMs, see, like, all these people, and I get to spend time with our people and say, we're in really great shape, and I wouldn't trade our team or our situation for anyone else's.
Oh, my God. Hickey, does he have that much enthusiasm this weekend? Does he admit to making a mistake?
Do you think if given the offer, he would not switch with the Boston Celtics right now? He'd say, I'm good where we are.
Is he? We're going to find out how much of a liar he is. We got to wait like a week.
Probably, right? Maybe even, I don't know. Do it during the week? Like, how much time do you need for exit interviews?
You got to get the messaging together. Well, they're done on Sunday. He ain't going Tuesday, Wednesday?
I think we should hear pretty soon.
Maybe he's going to fire some people. He has to wait until after that. I wonder what crap he's going to be shoveling in the middle of the week. That'll be fun to see. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Oh, it's Lee from Cincinnati, here to tell me about the Florida Gators. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Lee, what's up?
Actually, I don't want to say anything about the Florida Gators tonight, JR. What I do want to say, though, is that I think Tommy Fleetwood is going to win the Masters.
Oh,
I'm hoping he is.
Okay, are you running or are you in the car?
No, I just got done. I had to go run back to my truck. So,
okay.
No, I'm good now. And it's also, I think Tommy Fleetwood's going to win it because I put $100 down on him before the Masters started to win it. So,
well, good luck to you. You taking me to lunch? Where are we going on $100 lunch? Where are we going? A dinner?
I tell you what, you pick it out because the odds that I got with the 100 I put down, if I win, I'll take you and Hickey out wherever y'all want to go. How's that
Hickey,
sound?
Hickey, where do you want to go? The three of us are going to eat for 100.
Let's get some steak. Let's get some man meat here.
So, I mean, I'll be more than happy to.
Okay. I drink $100 worth of beer.
Oh, well, thank God my winnings will cover it. All right, let's put it that way.
The winnings. Oh,
the,
okay. Right.
The winnings, yeah. Cause, yeah, right. My wife's not invited. So, anyway. the second thing, though, is... Nico, all right, with Tennessee. Let me ask you this, that's a state entity, all right? That's a state entity. Right. With the NIL money, can't they sue him for breach of contract to get that back? Because it's not a private entity like the other team. It is a public it's a public institution. So don't they have the right to be able to do that or not? What do you think?
Well you got to keep in mind that the contract that he signs isn't necessarily with the school. It's with the collective. It's basically with the marketing agency, which goes out and finds these deals for the students to show up. And so that I know that that is some real tricky legal mumbo jumbo. I'm not a lawyer, but I do know that these collectives are associated with the school. And so the school is not going out there. Tennessee is not paying Nico Iamaliava his $2.5 million show up to work. Like, that's the agreement that he has with the collective. And having the success that he did have last season, and then unfortunately getting smacked by Ohio State, even the fact that he showed up and said, hey, I took you guys to the playoffs. I gave y'all 10 wins. I need my money up. I need to be paid commensurate with some of the other student athletes. You know, pay me. Like, he ain't beating up on Tennessee. He's just not showing up to practice. I mean, he can't. It's not with the school. It's with the marketing agency.
Okay, though, that's where I was wrong. I thought it was with the school, and I thought that would definitely be a breach of contract. Then.
There are so many workarounds. These collectives, which they call them collectives, they are loosely associated with the schools. It's like you get a bunch of rich people together, they put this together, and then it is basically an outside arm of the school. It's crazy.
That makes sense.
It's wild. I know it sounds absolutely nuts, but this is where college athletics is gone. Like Lee, for calling from Cincinnati. Go ahead. You going to send me the $100 now or later? What are you going to say?
No, what I was going to say is I'm still honest about that. We will. I will take you and Hickey out both. Tommy Fleetwood wins the Masters. Trust me. I promise.
All right. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Hickey, you name the place, okay?
I love Lee. I like I like how generous he is. Yeah. Fleetwood's -2, so he's 6 shots off. I wouldn't hold your breath about going to dinner.
I'm not. I was going to ask you, do you want to go to Cincinnati?
I'd go to Cincinnati if we avoid the Skyline Chili.
Oh, the spaghetti with the stuff on top? And
right.
More stuff?
That is technically somehow called a chili.
It's spaghetti.
Spaghetti, right.
With beans.
Right.
It's spaghetti and beans. It sounds like heartburn to me, bro.
Sounds disgusting.
Oh, whoa. Wow. You're being disrespectful to a local delicacy. You can't do that. What are you going to beat up on cheesesteaks next?
I love cheesesteaks. They're good.
You going to beat up on chicken wings next here in Atlanta?
Chicken wings are good.
At Magic City.
Legs are good there.
The legs are terrific. They are. I was going to tell you about one thing I saw one time, and I can't.
So a spicy wing? Or is it a drumstick? Chicken thigh?
You heard what Matt said about it being, it's been windy down here recently, okay?
It has, yeah.
It's been windy down here in Georgia. I walked across the street. It was very windy. Okay. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, we're going to die. That's a crazy thing, by the way, what's going on in Tennessee. Nico Iamaliava, he's just like, hey, I just took y'all to the playoff. Y'all got to pay me. You know what? We'll talk about him. We'll get into Kirk Cousins. And speaking of crazy situations, we'll talk about John Morant. This guy's throwing fake grenades into the crowd right now. It's welcome to planet Earth in 2025. The student athletes not showing up for work. This is some crazy stuff. Welcome to Friday. And we'll do the Friday funny. You got a joke? Get it prepared. Tell America. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.